I have to adjust that camera a little bit because I'm going to sit down. When I was at my lowest a few weeks ago, in excruciating pain and tormented in my soul, at times fearful that I was losing my mind. As you know, I had a severe reaction to some medication and spent 5 days with horrible hallucinations. But it wasn't all horrible hallucinations. There were struggles in my soul. And I found myself repeatedly reciting scripture in my own mind. Whether I was speaking audibly or not, I don't know. I really don't. And more often than not, as I was reciting the scriptures, I would hear Shelby reading to me or reciting the scriptures at the same time. And perhaps, and at times it's encouraging me to recite those passages. And I want tonight, and then the next few messages, to preach to you from these passages that were so precious to me during this time. Romans chapter 5, grace reigning through righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, new creature in Christ because of his substitutionary accomplishments. And Romans chapter 8, nothing separating me from the love of God. And another passage was one very, very familiar to you, and I want us to look at it tonight. It is Psalm 23. If the Lord will enable me to do so, I want to preach to you from these blessed 6 verses from this sweet psalm from the sweet singer of Israel. We'll read the psalm together. And then I will try to open some of the treasures of the psalm to you, and we'll read the psalm together again at the conclusion of the message. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. Underscore that. He wouldn't do it if he didn't make you. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. O Spirit of God, open to us tonight the words of this sweet psalm. Write them upon our hearts and cause us to know, as we have not before known, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the first thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Of course, the psalmist is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, speaking of him as in his mediatorial character, as our representative, our surety, our substitute. The Lord God promised to raise up a faithful shepherd, and Christ is that shepherd. He is called the shepherd of Israel. He is that one described by the Lord in Ezekiel as one shepherd over the house of God. He's called God's shepherd, the Lord's shepherd, smitten for the sake of his sheep, that his sheep might be gathered unto the Lord. He is the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. Our Lord Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, who willingly lays down his life for the sheep, who goes before his sheep and calls them out. He who is our shepherd is himself God the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah in our nature. Now listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in one of his descriptions of him. You don't need to turn there, but you can look at it later in Isaiah chapter 40. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. But of all the sweet words by which the Lord Jesus is described and identified as our shepherd in this blessed book, none is sweeter than this. The Lord is my shepherd. Mine. That rich, personal pronoun, my. He's my shepherd. It is one thing for the shepherd to look out over a flock of sheep and say, these are my sheep. It's something else for the sheep to lift their eyes to the shepherd and say, this is my shepherd. He is as really mine as I am his. As truly the possession of my soul as I am the possession of his hand. He is my shepherd. My shepherd, because the Father called him to be my shepherd, appointed him as my shepherd, and he voluntarily assumed all responsibility as my shepherd before the world began. The Lord is my shepherd, and I am his sheep. By election, by purchase, by special redemption, by effectual calling, by birth, I have been made to be his sheep. And if I am his sheep, now listen to me, listen to me. I hope you can enter into this. Larry Brown, if you're his sheep, you are his responsibility. Did you hear me? His responsibility. When I say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I lift my heart to heaven, beholding Christ on his throne, and I declare in my soul and declare to my God that all responsibility for this man, for time and eternity, is in that man who is my shepherd on the throne of God. Before the world was, he assumed total responsibility for my soul. And the Lord God gave me to him as a man gives sheep to a shepherd to tend, to care for, to lead in and out, and to bring safely home again. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, from old eternity, assumed total responsibility for my soul as my shepherd. Being omniscient, he knows his sheep. He knows who they are. And he knows where they are. He knows when he will come for them, and he knows all that he will do for them. He knows what they have made of themselves, and he knows what he will make of them. Being omnipotent, he can do everything we need for his sheep. He has all power in heaven and earth. That means he can protect and defend and save his sheep. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. That means he is the best possible guide for my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He orders my steps. He ordered my steps, all of my steps, before ever the world was made. He directs my steps through this world. He directs my steps through the valley, on the mountaintop, in the river, and through the fire. He orders my steps exactly as he sees fit, as my good shepherd. Now, what does that mean? The Lord is my shepherd. Well, this is one certain consequence of that. I shall not want. Depend upon it, oh my soul. As surely as Christ is my shepherd, and I am his sheep, I shall want nothing. I shall want nothing that is beneficial for my soul. I shall want nothing that is needful for me to perform his purpose for me in this world. I shall want nothing through all the days of my pilgrimage here. I shall want nothing of the blessing of his grace, and I shall want nothing of his glory in the world to come. I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall want nothing for time and nothing for eternity. He that is the good shepherd and the great shepherd and Jehovah's shepherd will never allow his sheep to go without provision or to lack provision. The words might be translated this way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fail, or I shall not come short. Because he is my shepherd, and he has called me and gives me eternal life, I shall not come short of it. None can pluck me out of his hand. Now, look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. As we read the psalm together, I said, underscore that word maketh. It's a present verb. It is that which he continually performs. He sweetly, gently, with irresistible force, by his grace, makes his sheep lie down in green pastures. And when you find pastures with grasses tall enough to lie down in, luscious and green, those pastures are rich, fertile pastures. The green pastures are found in the Word of God. And blessed be his name, though we would never lie down here. When our souls are uneasy, when our hearts are like the troubled sea, when our minds are terribly disturbed, we know where we ought to go. You do, and I do. We ought to go to the Word, bury ourselves in the Word, wrap our souls in the Word, and feed in the Word. But we will run anywhere else in our minds until at last he makes us lie down. He makes us lie down in utter exhaustion. And there we lie at ease and rest in rich green pastures, the pastures of covenant promises, the pastures of everlasting covenant grace, the green pastures of gospel promises and gospel doctrine, the green pastures of his saving grace, the green pastures of his word. He makes us to lie down at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and rest. He makes us to lie down at the foot of his glory and rest. And there, where sheep lie down, they find peace and satisfaction. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for forcing my heart. For bending my will. For making me lie down in the green pastures you provided. And wherever their pastures are green and luscious and the grass is tall, you can bank on it. There's water nearby. He leadeth me by his Spirit, by the word of his grace. He leads me beside the still waters, not torrential rushing rivers, but still waters, not noisome, fearful sounding, rapid waters, but still waters. These waters are waters of rest, like the waters of Siloam, spoken of in Isaiah chapter 8, leading the sheep in an easy, gentle way as they are able. He brings us to these still waters and gives us peace. The streams of these still waters make glad our hearts. What's he talking about? By the streams of still waters. He's talking about the everlasting love of God. Still waters of communion in the knowledge of Christ. Not rapid, fluctuating things. Not soaring heights of dizziness, but still waters. Still waters run deep. And he's talking about still waters of grace experienced in the soul. The still waters of his love known in our soul. Still waters. I recall back in, let me see if I can get the dates just right. July 1967. I'd been dating this pretty blonde over here for a while. And we were sitting in church one night, and I reached over and took her hand. She kind of melted. And I didn't hear anything the preacher said after that, and I don't expect she did either. And after service was over, we drove out to Tanglewood State Park, out to Yadkin River, next to the power dam, and sat down on the hood of my 1965 Plymouth Barracuda, and nobody sat on the hood of my car before. And we watched the river and watched the moon, and I knew before the night was over I was going to kiss that blonde. And I did. And I saw skyrockets. I mean, the stars went off, and it was exciting, and I kissed her this morning, 41 years later, and there were no skyrockets. Stars didn't sparkle, but let me tell you something, the love, that quiet, peaceful knowledge of her love for me and mine for her is deeper and firmer than I could ever imagine it had been 41 years ago. Because we've been through some things together. And in God's good providence, my Savior and I have been through some things together. Him through some things for me, and me through some things with him. And the knowledge of his love, oh, when first he embraced me in his arms, I can't tell you, Skip, what skyrockets went off. But the emotions aren't the same anymore. They're deeper and firmer and still. Still waters for my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What are these? His love, life in Him, and the fountain of living water within, bubbling up in my soul by His Spirit, making me partaker of the divine nature. All right, look at his next line, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. I've got to hurry, I won't get done. He restoreth my soul. He brings back his straying sheep. No man ever quickened his own soul, and no man can keep alive his soul. It is ever the nature of sheep to do just one thing, and that's stray. Find sheep to do anything else. I defy you. Find sheep that do anything else. The reason they have to be penned in is because they stray, and they will never come home. Cattle will come home. Dogs will come home. Cats will come home. Sheep won't come home. All sheep know how to do is stray. They're the dumbest, dirtiest, most ignorant creatures on this earth. And that's what I am. It is ever the propensity of my heart to stray from Him. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. But blessed be his name. He never waits for his sheep to return to him. He comes and restores our souls. He never waits for prayer to be found in our hearts. He comes and puts in our hearts a cry after Him. He never waits for us to turn to Him. He turns us to Himself. He restoreth my soul. Be glad, children of God. Oh, be glad. Bobby, if you're His, He won't leave you alone. He won't leave you alone. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. What's he talking about? Paths of righteousness. Well, he leads us in paths of righteous behavior. Certainly that's true. He leads us in paths of revealed righteousness in the Scripture. Certainly that's true. He leads us in paths of justifying righteousness. Certainly that's true. He leads us in paths of righteousness, giving us a righteous nature in the new birth. Certainly that's true. But principally, this is what he's saying. The paths in which he leads me are right paths. The Lord does all things well. What he has done, is doing, and shall do is right. Nothing but right. What he does with you is right. What he does with me is right. And blessed be his name. It is he who has made this sinner righteous. And he leads this sinner in righteousness throughout this world in the paths that are right according to his purpose. Look at verse 4. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In this world, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death continually. We're not just talking about when we come to leave this world, but we are as Paul said, dying daily. We continually walk here in the valley of the shadow of death. And soon we shall walk through the River Jordan into our heavenly inheritance on the other side. But even then, just the valley of the shadow of death. Now, we tend to fear shadows. And there's not any reason. A shadow can't hurt you. A shadow can't touch you. A shadow may cast darkness over you, but that's all it can do. A shadow can't feel you or be felt by you. No need to fear the shadow. And children of God, when we leave this world, we will leave the valley of the shadow of death and never die. Lindsay Campbell's not going to die. And Don Fortner's not going to die. Did not our Master say, "He that believeth on me shall never die"? We will simply leave the shadow and enter into life. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I kept repeating those words in the midst of horrible turmoil, with horrible deadness in my soul. With real concern that perhaps I was losing my mind. With a real thought that I might soon leave this world. And with all those things said, I speak confidently and truthfully and tell you, no fear of evil. You remember where Jude speaks of Michael contending with the devil when Satan would raise up Moses' body? Well, Satan raised up Moses' body continually for days and nights. Kept raising up Moses' body. What are you talking about? He kept pointing me to law and works and law and works and law and works and law and works. And the Lord Jesus, as he stood before Joshua and spread the stone, the foundation stone on which his soul is built, taking away my filthy garments, washing me clean again in his blood, would not allow Moses' body to be raised up. And graciously, sweetly forced me to cling only to him, acknowledging I have no righteousness, no goodness, no merit, no worth, no desert in myself, even in the utter coldness of my own heart. I will fear no evil. How come? Thou art with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. He's with you. When you pass through the rivers, I'll be with you. When you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. My peace I give unto you. I'm with you. I'm with you. When you can see him, Bob, he's with you. And when you can't, he's still with you. When you feel his presence, he's with you. and when you feel nothing, He's still with you. When you know the strength of His warm embrace, He's with you. And when you feel utterly alone, He's still with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Now watch this. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff of the shepherd are actually one thing. Perhaps the rod refers to the rod of chastisement and the staff to the staff of strength. I've often told you the shepherd had a sheep that just kept straying and straying and straying and straying. Couldn't get the sheep to fall in line. He'd pull him with the crook and he'd run off again. And finally, he took that long staff and broke one of the front legs of that little lamb. Picked it up, put a splint on it, bandaged it and carried it in his arms until the leg was healed. And then he put him down. And he carried the sheep for so long, next to his bosom, that from that day on, the sheep just stayed right at his heels all the time. So the Lord chastens His own, that we might be weaned of this world and follow close at His heels. Perhaps the rod refers rather to the rod of His strength and the staff of His promises. His rod, His strength made perfect in weakness. The strength of His grace sufficient for me. The staff of His promises, of His provision, of His care, they comfort me. Read verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. In the presence of men who oppose me, maybe. In the presence of my own sinful flesh, certainly. In the presence of Satan and the demons of hell, most definitely. He prepares a table upon which He graciously feasts my soul. And that table is Himself. He is the bread and the water of life. He prepares a table before me and He anoints my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil, with Your Spirit, with Your grace, until at last my cup runneth over. So full, so bounteous, so free, so indescribable is His grace and His goodness that He causes this well of living water within to overflow. He causes the cup, this cup of mine, to overflow with His bounteous grace and by His Spirit. Verse 6. In the light of all these things, surely, surely, goodness and mercy. Oh, God's free grace, love and favor. God's mercy, goodness and mercy, both spiritual goodness and temporal mercy, both temporal goodness and spiritual mercy, shall follow me, pursue me, chase me all the days of my life. I'm nearly 58 years old. And for 58 years, these two sweet hounds of heaven have been nipping at the heels of this chosen sheep. Goodness and mercy. And they have been continually nipping at my heels to chase me into the arms of my Redeemer and into His house at last. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell, abide in His house, in that house prepared for me before the foundation of the world, in that house prepared for me by the entrance of Christ into that house as my forerunner, into that house prepared for me, whatever it is in the world to come, in that place called heaven. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, let's see if we can read this psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sunday night, back in the office, Brother Rex Bartley asked a very important question. He said, Brother Don, how is it that we deal with our sin and our failures, recognizing that God has ordered all things, that everything is exactly according to His purpose, and yet we look back and see what horrible mistakes we've made. So many places where we've failed in our responsibilities, our sins against God. How do we look on those things with confidence in God's providence that He has ordered all our steps exactly according to His purpose? And I responded this way. We must never find any excuse for our sin. Find none, children of God. Make no cloak for your evil. Accept, acknowledge your responsibility for everything about you that's evil, everything. And at the same time, recognize and rejoice in God's good purpose and His overruling grace. There are two words given in Scripture. One, in Isaiah 35, I believe it is, the Scripture speaks about God coming to us in grace. And it says, God shall wipe away tears from their eyes. And He does that throughout this sojourn here. While your eyes bubble up with tears of sorrow and repentance, as David in Psalm 51, As Jeremiah and other prophets speak of their own weeping and crying before God, God graciously takes the blood and righteousness of Christ and with the handkerchief of grace wipes tears from our eyes. The other passage, very similar to it, speaking of that same grace, but speaks of that grace in heavenly glory. Then Revelation 21 declares, He shall wipe all tears from their eyes. And when we look back over life's finished story and know how much we owe, we'll look back on every day and every event with continual wonder, recognizing that He has led us all our days in paths of righteousness for His namesake. And goodness and mercy have chased us into glory. Amen.